أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في كتاب المجيد في كتاب مكنون بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات الله محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
I begin in the name of Allah the beneficent and the most merciful All praise is due to Allah whose worth cannot be described by any speaker whose bounties cannot be numbered by any calculator whose knowledge, power and wisdom cannot be described by any description, even if you were to take all the trees in this world and make them into pens, and the oceans make them into ink, these will still not suffice to describe the power, knowledge and wisdom of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's knowledge is such that there is not a taint of ignorance, and His power is such that there is not a shade of weakness. And Allah's knowledge is because of His power, and His power because of His knowledge. On that note, scholars of Islam, elders in Islam, brothers and sisters in Islam, Salaamu Alaikum. Yesterday, we talked about one of the moral virtues that one can achieve if he strikes the middle course in each of the three faculties that Allah has bestowed upon a human being. Now, when I mentioned about striking a balance, I did not at all imply that if you are able to use the power of intellect and imagination to the extent that you can do justice, of course, Allah does not want you to stop there. In other words, you can acquire as much knowledge as possible through your power of intellect and your power of reasoning and your power of imagination so that you can serve Allah in good servitude in order, just remember, the bottom line, the key, is that whatever you do with these three powers, you need to make sure that justice prevails and there should be no injustice. Therefore, this person who has actually acquired these virtues is known in Arabic, as we say, al-insan, Al-Kamil, or a perfect human being. Now you can appreciate, or rather you can see, where we started from in the beginning, right? We established the status of the Imams, and we established the meaning of the concept of Wilaya. And then we mentioned about a very important verse in the Quran, which is in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse number 72, in which Allah talks about the amana, the trust that He has given to human beings. And what is this trust, as we have already discussed? It is the responsibility to represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, to manifest His attributes. At the same time, perfect yourself, purify your soul. And when you have attained that perfection, then you can put society in perfection as well. Salawatullah Muhammad wa alayhi. And yesterday we also mentioned about the attribute or the virtue of justice. And as I mentioned, there are three types of justice that we should be aware of. It's the justice between human beings and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make sure we comply with that. The second justice is between human beings themselves. And as I mentioned, it is not a very light matter. It is a very, very serious matter. Now, there are some conditions in that kind of justice. If your fellow Muslim brother excuses you from those obligations, then Allah will not hold you responsible. And most of you know that, for example, if I do injustice to this brother here, and he does not forgive me, and we know that if he doesn't forgive me, Allah will also not forgive me. You know why? Because if Allah forgives me, it is doing injustice to him. And Allah does not do injustice, as I mentioned yesterday. So we have to be very careful about our duties. We should not hurt the feelings of people. Sometimes, you know, we tend to make comments, even though we take it as a joke, but you don't know that you are hurting the feelings of the other brother whom you are facing. And if he does not forgive you, you know, on the day of judgment, you'll be surprised. You know, and you will find that you have so much accountability that you did not realize. So we have to be very careful as far as that is concerned. Now, I did mention something yesterday which I want to continue now, and that is, if today we were present in Karbala, where would we belong if we were present in Karbala? I mean, at that time when the event of Karbala took place, right? More than 1400 years ago. Would we belong to the camp of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, as we all wish? Or we would belong in the camp of Yazid Mal'un? Now, Allah gives us conditions in the Quran. If we can meet these conditions, then we can say in a convincing manner and with conviction that I'm sure because I meet these conditions, I would have joined Imam al-Hussein in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, you know the revolution of Imam Hussein, I talked about the significant factors of his revolution. The revolution took place because Imam Hussein wanted to reform the society because the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was on the line because of rulers and tyrants like Yazid, like Muawiyah and Yazid. Imam al-Hassan made a treaty with Muawiyah, but if you look at the treaty itself, it was full of wisdom. As I mentioned, each of these imams were acting and they were performing their duties by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I say Imam al-Hassan signed a treaty with Muawiyah, it was actually Allah who signed the treaty with Muawiyah. Imam al-Hassan is simply following the commands of Allah. Of course, Allah gives them enough knowledge for them to act accordingly. But who gives them that knowledge? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they act in any manner, they are actually fully representing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look at this verse in Surah Tawbah, verse number 44. Very interesting. Pay attention, brothers and sisters, because this will evaluate your iman today. And also will answer the question, If we were present during that time when the event took place, would we belong to the camp of Imam al-Hussein or Yazid? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لا يستأذنك الذين يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر أن يجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم والله عليم بالمتقين. Those who believe in Allah and the last day would not ask your permission. In other words, Allah is addressing the messenger in this verse. Those who believe in Allah and the last day, لا يستأذنك الذين يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر, and they believe in the last day, they will not ask your permission to be excused from striving hard with their wealth and their lives. And Allah knows who safeguard themselves. He knows who are the muttaqi, and He is full, and those who are full aware of His laws. Now, this verse is referring to the Battle of Tabuk. Again, there were some followers of Rasulullah who made excuses, just like the Battle of Ahzab, right? Inna buyutana awra, in Surah Al-Ahzab. It says, O Prophet, we don't want to fight because when they saw the enemies, they say, our houses are exposed. Our children are exposed. Our wives are exposed. Inna buyutana awra. Wama hiya bi awra. Allah says to the Prophet, their houses are not exposed. They're liars. Why? Why are they making excuses? Look what Allah replies to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In yuriduna illa firara. They want to escape. Their houses are not exposed. Why? Because their iman is so weak and probably they have no iman. And therefore they have the fear of death. And that is why they want to escape. Now, if our iman is weak, right, we will have the fear of death. And when a time comes when we are called, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ, إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. If we get a call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his representative, our 12th Imam, Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam, salawat alayhi salam. If our iman is weak, we would be scared of death. And it's a scary scenario, brothers and sisters. As you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Jews in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, right? فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, because they consider themselves as the chosen people of God. Now, listen to this. We Muslims, we also consider to be the chosen people of God, right? I'm not saying we are wrong. We are the chosen people of God. But I have news for you. Just as Allah is telling the Jews that if you are my chosen people, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you really love Allah because He chose you, right? That I mentioned last time. If there is someone who loves you so much, would you want to go to him soon? Because he loves you so much? So they claim that we love Allah so much. Allah says, if you really love me, then come to me. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, invoke that. No, Allah said they will never invoke that, right? So we Muslims are the chosen people of God. Granted, but one on one condition. So long as you are prepared to be chosen first for punishment if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you? Are we all ready? Allah says, you want to be my chosen? Then you should show full obedience. Then you will be my chosen people. So if we are the chosen people of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should be prepared to be chosen first for punishment if we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does Allah say here? Those who believe in Allah and the last day would not ask your permission to be excused from striving hard with their wealth and their lives. See? Only those who believe in Allah and the last day. The other condition is that they are prepared to strive hard with their wealth and their lives. Abdullah ibn Dahhak. Most of you know the history of Karbala. He was one of the companions of Imam al-Hussein. But he was a very unique companion. Why? Because when all the companions had been martyred, he comes to Imam al-Hussein and says, now, since all the companions have been killed, I'm asking for excuse. Abdullah ibn al-Dahhak. And by the way, historians also write that there is a condition he made with Imam al-Hussein before joining him midway. During the journey from Mecca to Karbala. Midway, he joined Imam al-Hussein, but he made this condition, that I join you on one condition. I will give you all my material support. If we are winning, I will stick with you until the end. But if we are losing, you have to excuse me. Imam al-Hussein said, okay. But why did Imam al-Hussein said, okay? Imam al-Hussein could have said to him, no, I don't need such companions. Brothers and sisters, it's a lesson for us. And that's why I'm reciting this verse from Surah Al-Tawbah. When all the companions were killed, he comes to Imam al-Hussein and says, I'm asking for excuse because we made that agreement. Imam al-Hussein said, yes, because Imam al-Hussein has to honor the agreement. He says, now you can leave. Take example of this person, Abdullah ibn al-Dahhak. He agreed to strive with his wealth because he brought his horses, the best horses, to help Imam al-Hussein. But at the last moment, why did he ask for excuse? Because he was not prepared to strive with his life. And probably we would fall in the same shoes. We would be in the same shoes. Because while most of us are ready to strive with our wealth, how many of us are ready to strive with our life? I'm not included, I admit. So what will make you strive with your wealth and your life? Allah gives us the condition. لَا يَسْتَأْذِنُكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Brothers and sisters, you know, when we say يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, those who believe in Allah, it's a very heavy statement. What is the meaning of يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ? Right? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا والنصارى والسابعين من آمن بالله. Allah does not make any distinction whether you are a Jew, you are a Christian, or you are a believer. Because who are addressed? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The believers are addressed. But the believers already believe in Allah. But why are they addressed? Because probably their iman is not there yet at the level where Allah is asking them to submit and to have that iman which is necessary. As I mentioned in my previous lectures, right? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. All you who believe. آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Believe in Allah. Believe in Allah. But we already believe in Allah. So what is the meaning of that verse? It means that while you already brought iman, iman has entered your hearts after submitting the first level of Islam, you still have to step up in your iman in the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you reach a level where you accept everything that comes from Allah, even an affliction that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When an affliction comes, as Surah Al-Ankabut informs us, that those believers who are afflicted, you know, when an affliction comes, he says, Allah is punishing us. He says, no, I'm just testing your iman, right? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alif Lam Mim, Ahasiban Nas, Ayn Yutraku, Ayn Yakulu Amanna, Wahum La Yuftanun. Those who say you believe, what, we are not going to try you? Speaking about trials, and this is my subject tonight, trials and affliction, and one of the the virtues that we see from the camp of Imam al-Hussein is the virtue of worship and the virtue of patience. And I'm going to come to that. But let's talk about trials and see how we can fit. Or rather, when we have a call from our 12th Imam alayhi salam, that he is calling us now to join a group of Muslims who will be involved in bringing ultimate justice on this earth. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. You know, this verse is an amazing verse. It's just an amazing verse. As I mentioned, how many of us are proactively involved in this divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I'll give you an example. I'm jumping into many things, but don't worry, I have everything in my mind and I know where to go to. Okay? Let us say, for example, Brother Jawad tomorrow night receives 500 people in this mosque. There's no space for 500 people. And by the way, if you try to squeeze 500 people, you're violating the fire code, right? We will be shut down here. So what we need to do in order to fit the rest 300 people or more, we need to talk to the local authorities and say, look, we want to put a covering on the ground outside, and we want to transmit this lecture also outside, as there'll be noise and the neighbors will be disturbed, but we are taking your permission. What are the chances that they will allow us to do that? No, good chances. Good. The chances are good. The police are very cooperative. You know? We don't have a problem. Even in New York, we don't have problems. You know, on the day of Ashura, I remember the Husseini Madrasa, you know, they occupy all the parking spaces around the center, because usually we don't have all those parking spaces. And when we go and request that from the local authorities, they say, by no means. We respect your religion. By no means. They allow us. And by the way, I guarantee you, they'll allow you to do that. We can extend all the way outside. I don't know about some of the intricacies of this town, but generally speaking, they will. You know why? Question yourself, why? Because our Islam brothers and sisters have not threatened them. I don't mean to say threaten them violently. No, don't misunderstand me. I'll give another example. A person comes to us and says, you know, you Muslims are terrorists. I said, you know, as a matter of fact, we are. So he looks at us. He said, are you serious? Now he's looking at my socks, because sometimes, you know, we hide guns. He's looking at my belt here and says, nothing is bulging out because I'm skinny. He says, are you serious? You're a terrorist? He says, yeah, you didn't know that? He says, excuse me, Ali, are you carrying a gun? I said, no, I don't carry a gun. Oh, maybe you're carrying a knife. I said, no, I'm not carrying a knife. He said, then what are you carrying? A bomb in your watch? I said, here, you want this watch? Take it. He said, no, there may be a bomb in there. He said, then why do you call yourself a terrorist? I said, you know why? We don't terrorize with weapons. We terrorize people with the truth. Salawat Allah Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Give me another salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
So we are terrorists. News, right? Good news. We terrorize not with weapons. We don't want to be violent. We want to terrorize with the truth. That's all we want. So what is the religion of Islam? The religion of Islam, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. The religion of Islam is based on truth. So here while we are in the mosque, we are all discussing truth. We are appreciating truth. We accept. We don't reject truth. But when we come out of the mosque, it's the end of it. The truth has stopped here. So why don't we take this truth outside? To your workplace. Wherever you go, take the truth outside. Preach to them the truth. And you don't have to preach to them the truth by having a platform like the evangelists, you know, because they are simply, they practice evangelical postulations, as we know, the evangelists. We don't have to do that. Chances are that if you were to erect a platform, those who are from Manhattan, New York, you know, erect a platform like the evangelists, right? And say, I want you all to listen to this beautiful religion I want to talk about the beautiful religion of Islam. They will throw eggs at you. They will humiliate you. The police will be called. You will be handcuffed and you will be put inside. No. That's not the way our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam preached Islam. You know how he preached Islam? Because he presented himself in public as a model of Islam. By his beautiful personality and character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ
عَلَىٰ اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلِهِ.
So let's look at the other verse now, which I recited in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, the first two verses. Alif Lam Mim. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَ وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Those who say you believe, what, we are not going to try you? The word fatana, the word fitna, comes from the word fatana, which means in Arabic to prove. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, just like the Arabs, they used to have a gold coin called Ad-Dinarul Maftun. I don't know how many of you remember that. A dinarul maftun is a gold coin which is already authenticated as gold. Now this is the lexical intricacies of the words used in the Quran. You know, just to give you another example. Right? Wahum la yuftanun, yuftanun fatana means to prove. So just like the gold coin has already been authenticated as authentic after going through some processes, a human being, a believer, a person who says, I believe, will also have to go through some trials in order to prove that he truly believes. Salawat Allah Muhammad. So when the trials and affliction comes to us, we should not complain to Allah, oh Allah, why have you forsaken me? No, you should say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that Allah, you want to try my iman? What a good thing. Because just like when you give an exam, you know the kids who give exams after you finish your exam, aren't you curious to know how much you got in the exam? You are, right? You go to your teacher and says, excuse me, do you know how much I got in this particular exam? He says, wait until I correct it. He says, just give me an idea because you won't sleep at night. You're curious. So Allah is putting us through trials every day. What a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He's showing you where is your iman. Otherwise, we will meet him. We will meet our death. When Malakul Maut comes to take our soul, and he will show us the embodiment of our deeds. A creature who is next to us. Right now, there is a creature next to me. You know that? But that I don't perceive. Everyone, not only me. Every one of us. We have another creature next to us which we don't perceive. Who is that creature? It's the creature that you develop based on your deeds. And when I'm talking, by the way, notice one thing. I'm talking hardcore Islam. I'm not talking lip service Islam here. I'm talking hardcore Islam. This is a Quranic reality that there is embodiment of your deeds. And this is the creature who will accompany you in the grave, depending on your deeds. If your deeds were evil, like Yazid, he was accompanied in the grave, in his grave, if he was buried, with that creature that he developed based on his deeds. But we don't see the creature, right? That's why Allah says in Surah Al-Qaf, chapter 50, on that day your eyes will be sharp. Very sharp. You know what it implies? Ask yourself a question when you read the Quranic verses. It implies that there is something I did not see when I was living in this life. And now on the day of judgment, I can see very clearly what I developed based on my deeds. So, all of us are going through trials. Now, we are all, alhamdulillah, most of us, in fact, all of us here, I consider all of us as the followers of Ahlul Bayt. No one can deny. We have shown you the proof from the Quran about the position and the status of Ahlul Bayt, their excellence and their virtues. And look at the virtues presented by Imam al-Hussein in Karbala. This is what we are talking about, right? No one can deny that. We are all the followers of Ahlul Bayt. Whether you like it or not, you have to follow them. So Imam al-Ali alayhi salam, salawat ala Muhammad, listen to this. He's asked by someone, who are your true followers? The Shias, right? So he replies, we know that the Shias are the followers of the Imams. So he replies, he says, my true followers are like bees in the jungle of birds. Bees in the jungle of birds. And you will know why these people, these poor Muslim brothers, were killed in Pakistan just yesterday or today. I heard yesterday. I don't know. Maybe today they killed more. You will know why the Shias are most sought after. After all our imams were sought after, right? Listen to what Imam Ali alayhi salam says. He says, our followers are like bees in the jungle of birds. Only if the birds knew what the bees carry, which is a cure for their stomach, they will go and kill all the bees. Subhanallah. You know what Imam Ali alayhi salam implied? Didn't I mention Amir al-Mu'mineen? Why is given the title? He brings the special knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. Not the essence of Allah. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misconstrue my statements. The special knowledge which is necessary for the people to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he brings that knowledge and he gives the knowledge to us. We are supposed to absorb that knowledge and put it in our soul. And all our actions should emanate from that source, that cause, which is that knowledge that Amir al-Mu'mineen brought to us. If our enemies know that we carry that knowledge, you know what they'll do to us? They'll slaughter us. They will come after us. And this is exactly what the Imam said. He said, you want to be our followers? People said, yes. He says, take cover. Take cover. He says, why? He says, if you are our true followers, they will come after you. They will slaughter you. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now look at the next verse. As I mentioned, how merciful Allah is. Allah is talking about a group of people who would have never made excuses with Rasulullah in any battle. Why? Because their iman was strong. And their belief, their certainty in the hereafter, the day of judgment, is strong. I'll give you another example. Look at the Quran. Okay? Scan the whole Quran. And find out all the verses that talk about the evil deeds of people and what their plans are. Scan the whole Quran. And you will find so many verses talking about the evil people and their evil deeds and everything. And then make a conclusion. What led them to do evil? Make that conclusion. Make a research. We have a beautiful book. Nothing stops you from doing research, right? I take the trouble. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah and by His permission, sometimes I want to do that research. And I want to do a research to find out, okay, I want to know about all the evil deeds of people mentioned in the Quran. The Thamud, Fir'aun, the Haman, right? Read the Quran. You'll find all these stories in the Quran for a reason. Your conclusion will be as follows. In Arabic, this is the conclusion. You know why they did all these things? Why they performed all these evil deeds? فَنَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ فَنَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ You know what's the meaning of that? They forgot the day of judgment. They were able to do all this. Yazid and his henchmen, Umar ibn Sa'd, Shimr, Hurmala, all those people who killed the beautiful servants of Allah, who only wanted to worship Allah, nothing else. Give them the rights to worship Allah and to represent Allah the way Allah wants them to represent, right? Why did they commit all those evil deeds? Why? Allah gives us the answer in the Quran. When you do that research, you'll find that answer. فَنَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ They forgot the day of judgment. So it is not only to remember the day of judgment, brothers and sisters. No. Not only to remember the day of judgment. We all do remember the day of judgment, no doubt. But are we certain about the day of judgment? Are we certain that the day will come? If you have certainty, believe me, you're not going to commit any mistakes. You'll be so careful if you are certain. Let us say, for example, if I tell all of you that if anyone were to laugh right now, you will be slaughtered. And one person laughed and I slaughtered that person. Just give you an example. Now, you are certain, right? That anyone laughs will be slaughtered, right? Would you laugh? No. But we don't see the day of judgment. But this is our trial. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ Right? أَلِفْ لَا مِيمْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ What is the characteristics of the muttaqi? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ They believe in the unseen. And then Allah goes on to say, they are certain about the day of judgment. They have yaqeen of the day of judgment. They will never commit this mistake. So, if we have yaqeen, if we have good belief in Allah, and we have certainty of the day of judgment, we believe in the day of judgment, and we start achieving a certainty about the day of judgment, then Allah says, you will never refuse the call of anyone. Any of his representatives, right? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillah wa li rasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. What does this happen to us when we answer the call of the Prophet, the Messenger? Allah says, we will give you life. On the day of judgment, when some hearts will come on the day of judgment dead, but your hearts will come alive. And this is the meaning of inna nahnu nuhyi al-mawta wa naktubu ma qaddamu وآثاره وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام مبين. Now let's look at this other verse, the flip side. إنما يستأذنك الذين لا يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وارتابت قلوبهم فهم في ريبهم يترددون. Amazing, subhanAllah. Only those who do not believe in Allah and they do not believe in the hereafter, and their hearts are wavering, like in the battle of Ahzab, when they started making excuses, inna buyutana awra, because their hearts were wavering. These are the people who will make excuses. So if Imam Al-Hussein were to call us, hal min nasir yansuruna, how many of us would have answered the call? If that call was pertaining to joining him in the camp, in Karbala, only those who have belief in Allah, and they believe in the hereafter, and they are prepared to strive not only with their wealth like Abdullah ibn Dahhak, but also with their life, right? Give me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now look at this interesting verse in the same surah. I don't know, I find Surah Al-Tawbah also a very interesting surah because it touches the reality of our existence. Verse number 111. Look at this verse. Look, we do business every day, right? With each other. We like to do business. We love to do business. Right? So we are careful that we don't cheat each other. But if Allah were to tell you that He wants to do business with you, you would definitely trust Him, right? Because He's the one who is the most trustworthy. We actually do tawakkal ala Allah. We trust, we put all our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, Allah is inviting us. He wants to do business with us, brothers and sisters. Listen to this verse. I don't know how many of you have read this verse. I find it very amazing. Allah wants to do business with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ
Subhanallah. Verily, Allah has purchased from the faithful, from the good believers, from the good servants. He has purchased from them. He did business with them. Business. He purchased.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ
Verily, Allah has purchased from the believers, from the faithful ones, their selves, their nafs, and their properties in return for the garden in the hereafter. So here we are. Allah wants to do business with us. Who is a better business person than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You know, today when we want to do business, we check the credibility of the other party. Are they going to cheat us? Are they going to be faithful to the agreements that we make in the business transaction? Right? So we are very careful. Some of us do take the risk. We go ahead and we end up losing a lot of money. Some of us make money, depending on how trustworthy the other party is. Right? But here we are. Allah wants to do business. I'm informing you all, brothers and sisters. Allah wants to do business with us. How? He wants to purchase our good deeds. Are you ready to do business? He wants to purchase our good deeds. So He says, you give me your good deeds, you strive with your wealth and life, I will give you Jannah in return. And look what He says, right? وَيُقْتَلُونَ
وَأَدًا عَلَيْهِ حَقًّا فِي التَّوْرَاتِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ والقرآن.
Right? This is a promise which is made in the Torah and the Injil and the Quran. And who is better in keeping the promise? As Shaitan says on the Day of Judgment, right? فَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ When the matter would have been decided on the Day of Judgment, the Shaitan will say to the people in hell that when Allah promised you, it was a promise of truth. But when I promised you, it was just to deceive you. So today, don't blame me, right? He said, what did He do to you?
إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي
All I did was, I did a little bit of da'wah to you, and you listened to me. So today, فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ Do not blame me, blame yourselves. Because all I did was, I did a little bit of da'wah to you, and you accepted me. So now today, you blame yourself. Even Shaitan will confirm on the Day of Judgment that when Allah promises, it is a promise of truth. So we have been promised Jannah for our good deeds. Imam Hussein displayed that in Karbala when his loyal companions were asked, why don't you leave? Because the enemies are coming after me. No, they are not after you. They are after me and my family. They did not. They did not waver. Like what the verse in Surah Al-Tawbah says, right? Those who don't believe in Allah and those who don't believe in the hereafter and their hearts are wavering. They are in doubts. These were not the characteristics of the companions of Imam Al-Hussein. They said no. Why? Because they know that when they fight in the way of Allah with their wealth and their selves, their nafs, what has Allah promised them? A great reward. Now, all of us know about this. But what is the difference between us and them? Think, brothers and sisters. We have just listened to the verses. And we affirm, because I am reading from the Quran, you say, you're right, Brother Ali. This is true. That Allah has promised us Jannah. How can we have any doubt about the promise of Jannah? Right? There's a condition. You need to perform good deeds. You need to strive with your wealth and yourself and your nafs. Then Allah promises us. But there's a big difference between us and them. You know what's the difference, brothers and sisters? While we claim that we believe in Allah and in the hereafter, their iman were much higher than ours, and their certainty about the Day of Judgment is much, much higher than ours. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma
salli
ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Now, look at this now. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Look at the virtue of patience demonstrated in Karbala. And then we will go slowly into Karbala tonight. Tonight is a very, very sad night. This is the 10th of the night of Ashura, the eve of Ashura. And you know what happened on the 10th day of Ashura, right? A great sacrifice took place. That's why we are all gathered here. But look at this virtue demonstrated by the camp of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Allah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Innallaha ma'as-sabirin. We have been created, brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, we will be continuously on trials, whether you like it or not. And we cannot blame Allah, because the moment you blame Allah, when you blame a person for anything, it shows therefore that that person is defective. But is Allah defective? Astaghfirullah. No. So how can we blame Him for all the afflictions and the trials? So the trials are there. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created you to dwell in difficulties. But Allah then gives us a solution to overcome these trials. Right? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. You know what's the meaning of إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, brothers and sisters? We know the literal meaning. Most surely, Allah is with the patient ones. Is with the patient one. Like for example, after the lecture, if I take one of the brothers and go with him, you can say, I can see surely that Brother Ali is with Brother Onali, because they are together. Inna Allah ma'as-sabirin. Allah is with the patient, as if He's holding His hand. And Allah Ta'ala in His Tafsir al-Mizan, He says, if there is any relationship that is so close, listen to this. When we study the virtues of the companions of Imam Hussein, it's not a joke. They were the patient ones. That is why they did not flinch an inch when the lights was turned off. They did not move. They said, we will not leave you, Imam al-Hussein. You are our master. You are the true representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala in Tafsir al-Mizan, He said, there is no relationship which is so close between Allah and His servant as the relationship mentioned here. Inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin. You know, we know that Allah is so close to us, right? وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ وَأَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. That's another relationship. Look at this relationship. It's even closer than وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And know that Allah intervenes between you and your soul. وَأَلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهِ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِ. It's not a joke. He intervenes between, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَهُ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. If you know yourself, you will know your Lord. Guess what? According to that verse, when you try to know yourself, before you reach your soul, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa
ala. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So there is no close relationship mentioned in the Quran. Inna Allaha ma'al muhsinin. Allah is with the good doers. Nothing comes close to this one. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah is with the patient ones. Question. How did they achieve patience? We talked about those four powers, right? The three powers. And we say that if you strike the middle course between those three powers, you will definitely achieve this virtue called patience. But how were they able to achieve patience? Look what Allah says, right? Alladhina idha asabathum musiba. Alladhina idha asabathum musiba. Qalu inna lillahi Subhanallah. Subhanallah. This book, brothers and sisters, this is a gem. Look what Allah says. He wants you to exercise patience. He wants you to achieve this virtue of patience. But how merciful He is. He shows you how to achieve patience. You know how? قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And it's not only uttering إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. When Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam in Karbala was uttering this statement, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. You know in what context he was uttering this statement, brothers and sisters? It's not a light statement. You know in what context? لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in this between the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. Brothers and sisters, you know why we become impatient? Because we think that we are the owners of everything. Salawat Allah Muhammad wa Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un means from Allah we come and to Allah we return. You know, the meaning of this statement is that we affirm by saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not the owners of anything. We are just the limited owners. There are two owners, there's two kinds of ownership. We are the limited owner and Allah is the absolute owner. Why we become impatient? Why we have problems in the society? Because this is my car, mine. This is my house. This is my podium. You know, this is my podium. Look at the speaker. Look at the microphone. It's mine. And obviously, if somebody violates my this and my that and my that, I will get angry. Where is the patience? Look, this is the Quran speaking. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Now look what how Allah rewards them. How Allah rewards the patient ones. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Subhanallah. These are they on whom are blessings and mercy from their Lord. We were created for Allah's mercy. Allah says, exercise patience. Patience brings justice. Impatience brings injustice. These people on the side of in the camp of Yazid Mal'un, they were impatient. Look what they replied to Imam Al-Hussein. I know we are fighting the grandson of Rasulullah. We know that. But we are so much in love with the wealth that we have been promised. Amazing. Salawat Allah Muhammad. Sorry for being emotional. Look what Allah says. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تَوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَةَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِ. This is another interesting verse. Sorry for taking a little long today. Because I want to make a point. When the Qibla was changed from Masjid al-Aqsa to Masjid al-Haram, people thought that was following the right Qibla was righteousness. Bir al-Bir. But Allah says no. I could have asked you to face the Empire State Building. Mankind could have been asked by Allah to face a building. It doesn't matter. The idea is that you follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Righteousness is not which building you face, which direction you face. Whether east or west, that's not righteousness. Yes, you have been commanded to face a certain Qibla, no doubt. But then Allah defines what is righteousness. He says, "Man amana billah, yeah, right? Wal yawm al akhir, wal malaika, wal kitab, wal nabiyyin, wa ata al mal, right? All these are the qualities of righteous people displayed where? Give me an example. Karbala. Look at the righteous people. Righteous. They were righteous. Even Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, Alhamdulillah, oh Allah, you have given me the best companions. The best. They have achieved all that. What is righteousness? Is that one should believe in Allah, the last day, and the angels, and the book, and the prophets, and give wealth out of love for Him. The verse I recited in the beginning, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ. You will never achieve righteousness if you don't give that you love the most. But we give the things that we don't like. You know, at home, unfortunately, when we are told to donate something to a good cause, you know the first thing, including myself, I'm included, don't think I'm not included. You know what we do? We pick up the things that we don't like, you know. Excuse me, I don't like this, you know, give it away. Yeah, that thing on the wall, yeah, I don't like it, give it away. Allah says here, brothers and sisters, you will never achieve righteousness. And you would have never joined Imam al-Hussein because that camp was the camp of righteous people. So what is the message of Karbala, brothers and sisters? Is that we identify the virtues in the camp of Imam Hussein. We identify. We are very good in that. We're very good. Look, right now if I tell you, identify all my faults. Right away you'll write all my faults. Quickly. We're very good in that. Don't complain that, no, I don't have that ability to identify. No. Look, all that we have spoken so far, right? In this 9 or 10 nights, we should identify the virtues in the camp of Imam al-Hussein. And not only that, we should also identify the moral vices in the camp of Yazid Mal'un. Now, look at yourself. Picture yourself. You know the moral virtues in the camp of Imam Hussein, right? And the moral vices in the camp of Yazid. Where do you belong? Scary. Where do we belong? It's very scary. When Imam al-Hussein, alayhi salam, in Karbala, you know, Ali Akbar, who was a duplicate of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recite salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When he came to ask for permission, he said to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, said to Ali Akbar, and said, oh Ali Akbar, whenever I wanted to see the Prophet after he passed away and after you were born, I always used to look at your face. And when you are gone, how will I be able to see Rasulullah's face? And Ali Akbar went to fetch water, as you all know, as I described yesterday, before he met his martyrdom. He goes to fetch water and historians say that what a handsome boy he was, 19 years old, brothers and sisters. Look at the potential he had. When Imam al-Hussein were asking each and every one of them in his camp, he says, are you ready to face death? Brothers and sisters, they knew the Quran inside out. All these verses I recited, those who are ready to strive, not with their wealth only, but also with their self, they are ready to die in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the people who actually can exercise so much patience that they replied to Imam al-Hussein, like Qasim, as you know, said, Ya Ammar, death is sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. Look at the quality of these people in the camp of Imam al-Hussein and compare ourselves. I'm not saying that we should reach that level, but we should strive. The message of Karbala is to emulate them so that when we receive the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His representative, the 12th Imam, we will readily join Him. We keep on calling the 12th Imam, but I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, when the Imam comes, we will all run away. I'm so afraid. So Qasim says to his uncle, you know, Qasim was Imam al-Hassan's son. He says, Ya Ammar, death is sweeter than honey. We are fighting for the truth. So why we should be scared of death? We are the chosen people of God. As I mentioned, the chosen people of God, of Allah, they are not scared of death. They are ready to give their life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Qasim, you know, meets his death. And then comes the turn of Ali Akbar. He goes to fetch water and historians say that what a handsome boy he was, 19 years old. He looked like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he gets subdued by the enemies. In fact, he kills about 120 of the enemies. Don't think that Imam al-Hussein did not inflict a lot of casualty on the side of the enemies. He did. Historians say there were hundreds who lied dead on the ground. And Qasim and Ali Akbar comes back to the camp. And he says to his father, he says, you know, I was trying to get water. I almost got water. But the enemies were attacking me from all sides.
from all sides, and I subdued them. I killed about 120 of them. So his father said, may Allah bless you. You know, the water is waiting for us in Jannah. They are depriving us of the necessities of life. But we should not be afraid. We should have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ali Akbar goes again to fight. And this time he is subdued very badly by his enemies and he falls down. And Imam al-Hussein comes to him and says, oh my son, oh my son, you reminded me of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But give me my salams when you meet him. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you can imagine his situation. Can you imagine being in that situation after losing all his companions? And now he's so much worried about the women, their chastity, their hijab. Look, we are not even careful about our chastity and our modesty and our hijab. And Imam al-Hussein is so much concerned about their chastity that he is worried now. So he comes to the camp, to the tent, where Zainab alayhi salam and his wife Rubab was there. He says, give me the baby. I know he's dying of thirst. Maybe they will have some pitiness on this baby. And that is Ali Asghar. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how we can bear this. This young child, Ali Asghar, he comes to the hands of Imam al-Hussein. His lips are so dry, as the brother described. He has not been fed with milk and water. So Imam al-Hussein takes the baby, Ali Asghar, to the enemies, and he holds him high, and he says, what wrong has this baby done? What wrong has this baby done? Have some mercy at least. Take this baby, feed the baby with water and bring him back to me. And Umar ibn Sa'd, can you imagine? They did not feel remorseful at all. Their hearts were like rocks because there was no iman in their soul. They did not believe in Allah. They did not believe in the hereafter. They forgot the day of judgment. And that is why they were able to behave like this. So Umar ibn Sa'd is asking his soldiers, he said, who is ready to shoot? Who is ready to kill this baby? Can you imagine that? These animals, how low they stooped, that they have no remorsefulness to this baby. So Imam al-Hussein thinks that now they will offer this baby, Ali Asghar, water, and the women are crying in the tent. So they are thinking that perhaps they will kill this baby. And how true they were. So Ali Asghar is in the hands of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And then finally everyone refused to throw the arrow at the baby. Hurmala, he was known to be an expert in throwing arrows. He says, let me do it. And I don't care if the sins of all the Arabs comes to mine, in my hands. Imagine someone saying that, brothers and sisters, this is unbelievable, unbelievable. And he throws the arrow and the arrow hits the neck of Ali Asghar. The little baby, blood is oozing out from his neck, and Imam al-Hussein complains. He doesn't complain, but he says to Allah, I will bring the complaint to you about these people. The so-called Muslims, they call themselves Muslims, but they were hypocrites. They were disbelievers. And then Imam al-Hussein brings Ali Asghar, close to the tent. And he buries the child close to the tent. And he comes back to the tent. And the women are crying. Rubab is coming. He says, where is my son? Where is my son? He says, oh Allah, please accept this sacrifice. These people, look at the way they treated my infant child. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. One more time. As-salamu ala al-Husayn وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Another time, brothers and sisters, loudly. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. ما تم يا حسين.